I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Joining us on the program right now, we're just churning through players. We're churning through coaches today. We appreciate all the time they've taken. Connor Pay, offensive lineman for BYU, joining us on the program. Connor, thanks for being with us, man.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Too much attention, right? Like, it's like, okay, at some point, please don't talk to us that much. Now, but don't worry, because when the season rolls around, we'll go back to not thinking about the offensive lineman here.
Right.
Like, all the skill guys.
Right. You can speak for yourself about offensive linemen. They're my
you
favorite.
Relied on them.
They're my favorite people on the team.
You had
are you
to rely
kidding
on
me? Yes,
I get it. There's the kids.
Offensive linemen are the only real people in football. they are.
Is that accurate?
100% accurate.
I plead the fifth.
Well, no, I mean you guys are, but you're just like, you know, down and dirty, and you just keep it real, and there's no pretense, and you guys, you're loyal to a fault, and you guys, you know. Unbelievable work ethic. You're loyal to one another. You're smart. I mean, am I not right here?
I think
he wants me to keep going there.
very accurate.
But you have to be smart to be an offensive lineman.
Yeah, very, very. There's a lot going on. It's things can change with one shift.
Right.
If one defensive player in a whole scheme changes. You have to know that, and you have to adjust in a millisecond.
So what's harder, run blocking or pass protection?
In terms of like adjustments,
like
or just
for
in
you,
general?
Yeah, just in general. As far as adjusting, or which one's harder to pick up and to master?
Probably run blocking, because I feel like in pass protection, you have the general rules of the protection that kind of put you in the right place most of the time, and then you have your kind of micro adjustments you make depending on personnel and what the defense is doing on that particular play. But you keep everything in front of you in pass protection. You know, you're backing up, but you can see a little easier. Run blocking, you're gonna have to run and bury your face into somebody, and if you have to make an adjustment off that, that's sometimes a lot harder to come out of than it is when you're kind of backing up and everything's in front. So I think probably run blocking might be a little bit more challenging in that aspect.
When you're in that huddle and it's like you have these plays and you have the check downs that could be a part of whatever that play that's associated with, do you look and go, but also Jaron could at any moment start running? Does that give you a little bit of anxiety, or do you guys just go, look, this is our world that we live in, and we have to adjust to it, whatever's going to be going on?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely part of it, especially when you have a dual-threat quarterback. It's what we understand and what he understands is our responsibility is to give him a pocket. If the pocket collapses, that's on us. If he leaves the pocket, he knows that he's on his own, essentially out there. And so, I mean, Scott, you would know, playing quarterback, you know, it's definitely offensive line's fault if you get sacked in the pocket. if you leave the pocket, Jaren knows that he's got to keep his feet moving, and he knows the risks when he leaves the pocket.
I feel like that means
yeah. And some guys, you'll see young quarterbacks that will they'll feel stuff. And they're actually in the pocket, right? And it's and it, they're perfectly comfortable, but they get spooked and they leave too mm-hmm. early, and then it makes it look bad for the lineman because you know, he's blocking his guy and he you know blocks his guy right into a sack.
Yeah,
I think that position wise, the offensive line has been looked at. Has been I've heard coaches say that they are you guys are the most Big 12 ready, and everything today is kind of based on. Getting ready for the Big 12, I think, on the media side. I think people talk a lot about that. But, you know, mm-hmm. you have this full season up ahead of you. What does that mean? I mean, I would assume that'd be the depth option, though. But is this the best yeah. that you guys have been as a group since you've been here?
Since I've been here, I think for sure. Because everyone who's on this offensive line now are guys that now I've played with for the last two seasons. So, I mean, everyone you saw in 2020 who's kind of moved on to the NFL now or to other aspects of life, that two unit in that 2020 team, that was the
you
five
guys.
Of us.
Yeah.
And so we've been playing together for a long time now. And even though some positions have been shuffled around and you know, that chemistry is definitely still there. And so I think kind of the camaraderie of just kind of banked reps. You know, because you rely a lot on muscle memory in the games, you know, when you see a certain blitz or something happens. And also knowing what the person next to you is thinking and going to do. And I think because of the experience we have playing together in that aspect.
So would you finish each other's sentences now? Because you've had so much
so
time
close.
Together.
I don't know if it's to that point.
No, they're offensive linemen. They finish each other's sandwiches.
Right.
It's not sentences. It's sandwiches.
I see this every year where you have practice speed, right?
Yeah.
And then you get into a game, and maybe your first game is against, you know, a lesser opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into a game against, like, a really good, you know, Power 5 team. How long does it take to go from that camp speed to where you're locked into game speed, you're seeing things, you're coming off the ball, you're recognizing. How long does that take for you and for your offensive line, you think?
I think it's pretty quick for where we're at right now. Because, I mean, my first start was against Arizona last year. I mean, I played in the Boca Raton Bowl in 2020, and that didn't feel a whole lot faster.
Right.
To be honest. But playing against Arizona, getting my first start, you know, the juices were flowing.
Sure.
I was nervous and all that stuff. So it probably took me maybe a series to kind of get a feel for what was going on. And then it didn't feel much different the rest of the season. It was kind of like, okay, the first play of the game, it's always like kind of feeling out how this player is going to play you and stuff like that. And it's usually one or two plays, and then it's off to the races.
And you're good to go.
Yep.
So when you get nervous before a game, how nervous are you? Are you puking? Nervous?
No.
Are
typically, I don't get too nervous. It kind of.
Do you lose your appetite? Nervous?
Not necessarily. Like, I definitely couldn't eat a meal before a game started.
Yeah.
I don't get too nervous. I don't think. For me, I kind of just go into the zone, and I'm a little bit quiet. Kind of keep to myself a little bit in the locker room, and then as we get closer to game time, that's when I start going and talking to other people and kind of getting amped up. But there's some guys who throw up before every game.
Yeah.
And
do you get angry? Do you like hate the world? Do you have to be angry in order
to
play?
Get into a place.
I tend to slip into that a little bit. I think
start playing the Metallica before the game.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. They're definitely on that playlist. the Slipknots and the Five Finger
yes.
Death Punches and
stuff you'd never listen to with like your date, but
yeah. Yeah. And then you throw in like some Rush in there or
right.
something or something a little different.
Calm yourself down a little bit.
But there has to be a little bit of
jekyll. What about air supply? Do you ever go with
see
air
that,
supply?
See, this is, now you're starting to show your age a little bit.
No,
come on.
Johnny.
Oh, of course.
Johnny.
Hey, Johnny can help you out.
Yeah.
We'll get you. Look, if you need any air supply, Johnny will help you out. Awesome. Connor, as we get going with this season and you start looking at kind of what your personal goals are and what are mm-hmm. the team goals? What are the stuff that you guys have talked about maybe in your player run meetings and things like that where you go, we want to accomplish X. What's a big one up on the board, I guess, so to speak, for you guys?
Yeah. Well, we kind of have a – in the team room, we have a board kind of with our team goals. And I mean, we always want to protect Lavelle's house. We want to win the home games. We want to win the rivalries. We want to qualify for a New Year's Six Bowl. And so those are kind of some of the team goals that we see.
What do you think that'll take on in a year like this to make a New Year's Six Bowl?
It's going to take exceptional attention to the details, I think. I think when you have a lot of experience returning to a team, it's easy sometimes to fall into the habit of letting the little things slide. Because, I'm going out for there for my 900th rep at this play or whatever. And it's easy to let the small things go. But I think attention to detail and trying to be exceptional in every aspect of the game is what's going to make the difference this year versus other years. Because it's not like 2021 where we lost, where we were bottom of the totem pole in returning production, where we had a chip on our shoulder, where it was this BYU team is 5-7 at best. Where it was like, no, screw that. We're going to be a lot better than that. Where it's this year, now the expectations are higher, and so the accountability has to be higher. The attention to detail has to be higher. I honestly think that's the difference maker in a schedule like this, is week in and week out attention to the minute details that seem insignificant that can cost you games.
I love that you guys are talking about this.
Yeah.
I think you got to shoot for the moon and have that expectation, and because if you don't, you'll never get there. Yeah. So I want to know, what do you think about Coach Satake? I mean, he's not here. You can talk about him. Speak freely. Tell us what you really feel about your coach.
Well, I love Coach Satake. I'd run through a wall for Coach Satake, and I think
you're talking like he's here right now. Come on, Dallas. Yeah. Come on. How mean is he?
Well, don't worry. He'll let us know if we're not doing what he thinks we need to be doing. He'll let us know. Trust me. But it's a culture of love and learning. We love Kalani, and I think anyone on our team, any player who is bought into what this program is about, will give you that same answer.
Well, don't let him spend all that time with the linebackers and stuff. He probably tries to sneak over there a little bit during practice, but, kind of have him come over.
Tell him you need some love.
I don't have to ask. Even in spring ball, he pulled me aside after one practice and was like, hey, your stance is a little too wide. You're not gaining enough ground in your wide zone footwork. And I said, okay, narrowed up my stance.
Did Coach Funk write
better.
That on? Did Coach Funk come over? He like wrote it on his hand. He's like, tell him this.
He's coached a line before.
Coach has done all that. All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to cut.
I weigh as much as them, too.
We're going to cut Connor loose here. Connor Pay, offensive lineman for BYU. You guys are deep this year, and I hope it stays that way, and I hope the health stays there, too. So
thank you, guys.
Congrats. And
appreciate it.
I love, it's been a pleasure. Being able to see these big guys.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Good luck to you.
Connor Pay right there here with him.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.